So Lydia, you ever eaten a habanero pepper?
I can't say that I have.
Did David's story make you want to eat a habanero pepper more or less?
I've been around people who've eaten peppers, hot peppers, and
Sweat. Have you worked with those people potentially here?
I have. I also have watched a lot of episodes of Hot Ones on YouTube, mm-hmm. and so I just thoroughly enjoy watching people have hot sauce make them sweat.
So you get enough enjoyment out of other people consuming them as you.
Need to harm myself while doing that.
Yeah, I did find it like, and maybe this is just like the. You know, the male curiosity that, David alluded to of just like, I wonder if it's really that bad. And now I'm wondering whether we should just like get habanero peppers and bring them to men's ministry and just see happens.
I did see some guys in front of me literally like start like elbowing each other. Like,
dude, let's try this.
Like either we had already done this or they were about to do it. And so it's like, oh no, this is horrible.
My second crucial question for you is, would you join the army for free tacos?
For free tacos. I can't say. I guess it would depend on the kind of taco, but.
I had questions about like quantity too.
Is it like free tacos plural. For like your life? Is it like mm-hmm. a free taco bar? Is it like free tacos for your entire family? Mm-hmm. Like what's the more scenarios? But like, yeah, tacos, I can't say it's the most enticing for me to join the army, but maybe Jenny or Allie, they would enjoy that.
Yeah. Low-key genius. So if you don't know the voice on the other side of the microphone, if you don't know my voice, I'm Landon and I'm on staff at CSF and I'm here with Lydia. And Lydia, this is your seventh year on staff and you just shared with me this is the first time you've been on a CSF podcast.
It actually is. I know, that's so wild, but first time for everything, right?
Yeah, here we are.
I don't know if we've ever had like a podcast area before. Besides Brian's basement, so I just here we are. We're official. We're in the Lewis house, so time to be a podcaster.
There's a new time for everything. Well, cool. Let's hop in to David's message for tonight. This is the fourth week of our series, A Better Story. And this week we were talking about the world saying that college is a place where you come to get your degree. Mm-hmm. And the spin on that, the message that Christ would give to us is that college is a place to find your calling. Mm-hmm. So Lydia, what stood out to you from David's message?
I think a couple, I mean, there are lots of things. David did great.
He always does.
He's such a good speaker. Gosh. But I think the idea of communal and personal calling was really important. And so for me, I think, even just talking about like your calling is bigger than your degree and also asking yourself some deep questions through scripture, I think is just so, so key. So like he talked about three huge different scriptures, yeah. Right? And so, I think the John Wesley questions even of like asking, are you living as though Christ is real? Mm. Just really kind of stuck out to me because he talked about with the communal setting of like, okay, how are we as a community living as though Christ is real? So I think those three like scriptures were awesome and helpful to like even articulate, hey, how am I actually living through scripture? Mm. And then also the personal side of things of asking like, why am I here and what's my purpose?
Yeah.
And asking like, while you're doing what you're doing, how are you making disciples? And I think sometimes we think like in college, like, oh, we'll make disciples later or whatever. Yeah. Like it's fine. But I think now there's so much more value to mm-hmm. like, as you go and as you're doing what you're doing to actually make disciples. So,
yeah. And I think that like that art of like making disciples as you go, like that was something that popped into my head is like, there's always going to be a, as you go,
yeah.
You know, it's not just going to be like, it can wait till after college. There's going to be, you know, work responsibilities or, you know, marriage responsibilities mm-hmm. or parenting responsibilities mm-hmm. and like learning that art of like, how do I, you know, weave making disciples into, you know, the rhythms of my life is, I don't know. There isn't going to be this just time where it's like, oh, I have nothing to do. I can go make disciples now.
Now I can do this. I don't do all the things I've always said I'm going to do, but yeah, as you go is I think a super important word. Yeah. We even use that so often in our blessing too at the end, like as you go, go knowing. And so I love it.
It's just something you do kind of along the road. I really like that. I liked, I like that even that what you're hitting on of just like what that question of like, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Because I feel like so often, especially like as you come into the college experience, it's like, who are my people?
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Where
do I fit? And sometimes we ask those questions, I think, before we ask, like, what is my purpose? What am I even doing here?
Yeah.
And so you even like run off into community or into, you know, whatever brings you joy in the moment without really knowing like who you are, or what your purpose is.
For sure. So
I think even like pausing to do that internal work of like, wait, what is my purpose? What, you know, why am I here? Probably changes the answer to those other questions, right? Of like, who are my people, or like, what am I going to do with my time?
Oh, for sure. And I feel like the wild thing of like asking, okay, why am I in the major that I'm in? Who is around me, and what am I actually doing? I remember I came into college and was like, I want to be a well-rounded human. And so what kind of degree would I take to be a well-rounded human? And so, not only that, but I learned like alongside of that, literally having like, I felt like I was getting like a scripture degree at the same time, because I was like, I want to fall so in love with scripture.
Yeah.
That way, like, as I'm like learning in my classes, I can also figure out, okay, God, where are you? And like, what's the spiritual lens here too? Not just like, I'm learning about anatomy, like what, or I'm learning about history or learning about Appalachian music, you know, like how can I learn about these things, but also ask, okay, God, where are you? And what are you calling me into as I'm taking these classes? So I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been in classes, but I still remember them. There are plenty of them. So
yeah, I almost say like, there's just like an art to like asking good questions of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's so easy to just like kind of coast through life and not ask those kind of like internal, like searching questions of, you know, and I think David even talked about this, like, why am I in this hall, or like, why am I in this class, or why am I in this place? And I think that sometimes we just go on autopilot and don't even ask those questions. And maybe it's even like, we need to be, you know, surrounding ourselves with people, you know, and this is kind of gets into like defining your place and like the, you know, kind of discipleship chain, as David said, but people who will, or even just finding your place within a community, that will ask those questions of you and teach you to ask those questions. Cause sometimes I don't think our impulse is always to ask them of ourselves. And so I think it's just a combination of like asking them in like our personal time, you know, one-on-one with the Lord, like, you know, Lord, what are you doing? Where are you calling me? Where are you placing me? And then like even bringing those things before a community, and letting them ask questions of you, I think is, I don't know, maybe a good way forward.
Yeah. I think that's huge. I think one of the important things of even like, as you're talking in community though, I think it can be, get really easy to like compare or to have 100%. This, like,
I'm glad you're saying this,
to have this huge, like, oh, well you're doing that and I'm doing this. And like, mine's not good enough, or yours is too good. Or like, man, I'm doing better than you. Like it becomes this like game basically, which like, I always remember being like, Lord, I don't want to be the person who's pointing fingers or feeling like fingers being pointed at me. And so I think it's really important. Like, as David was talking, I even just wrote this down, cause I was like, I need to remember this. It's like, to live your life, not someone else's. Don't when you're constantly looking side to side, you're missing out on what God actually has for you and like your calling. And so I think there was something, there was a podcast many years ago that I listened to that was walking through even like, I think it was Romans 12, where it's like, if you win, I win. So because we're on the same team, like when you win, I'm actually winning. So I should celebrate you when you're doing good things, or when like you're living into your calling. And so I think when you realize like, hey, this is a lane that you need to run in, and you see that in someone else, to tell them and encourage them through that, rather than just be like, oh, I'm so jealous, they're so good at that. Or, oh man, I wish I could do that. And so I think comparison can really just eat away at like people's callings in a horrible way.
100%.
So like, I don't know, encouraging people rather than just like tearing people down, I think is a huge thing.
Yeah. I think that comparison game is just like even more pervasive on the college campus.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Even more pervasive, like now in this, like, you know, day and age that we're living in with like social media.
Oh my gosh.
And just like the comparison game that is of like, oh, this person's going and doing this. And like, I think that's like something that's very common in like our wider culture that's like seeped into Christian culture, where we compare callings and all of that. And I think that, I don't know, that's too bad, because I think that we're really called, I think, like you said, to be countercultural in that way, where it's like, you know, we're, celebrating when people, you know, when good things are happening, and we're mourning with people when they're, you know, going through hard times. Like, we are really, you know, to borrow the words of High School Musical, all in this together.
That's good.
I think that like, and that, and even that's why that First Corinthians passage really stuck out to me, where it's like, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit's been given for the common good. And that like, in that it like implies that like the gifts are going to be different.
Yeah.
And that like our gifts aren't like for, you know, us to boast, like it's just for the communal good.
Yeah. Yeah. I always laugh at Romans 12 is like one of my all time favorite, just like passages in general. And so it talks a lot about the body and it talks about the different kinds of like, I don't even think that David really talked about Romans 12, but he talked about the body and like living into your giftings. And so I remember even in the Message version, if you have never read the Message version of Romans 12, just do yourself a favor and go listen to it or read it, because truly like it just put things in a different perspective for me of like, how good are you if you're chopped off toe? Like you on your own, like you're not that, like it, you're not that purposeful, but when you're attached to the body, like there's so much more. And so if a toe lived into a different calling, like it wouldn't serve the purpose that it's supposed to. So of balance, you know? And so living into like what you're called to be a part of as the body. And I think as a community, I think is really, really important. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's even like, I think that gets into like the Mother Teresa quote that he shared of like, I think God's wanting to show his greatness by using our nothingness. And in some ways, like understanding like, okay, this is like my lane and I'm going to run in it. You realize how many other lanes there are, how many more needs there are out there, but that's where you can like, look, that's when you start looking to the right in your life. You're like, man, I'm so glad they're doing that thing. Like, I think that like, I've even felt that like here on staff, because we have so many different ministries, so many different teams.
Yeah.
And I think it's like easy to say like, oh man, I want that role or I want that role. But then like you just get to a point where it's like, man, like I really wish I could be a part of that, but I'm so glad that those people are doing that thing.
100%.
Yeah. And so I think that that takes some time though. And that's like not the like natural inclination, I don't think.
Yeah. You want people to run in their lane, because I mean, you can even like, we watched the Olympics this past like year, right? So like when people are doing what they're like built to do, you're like, wow, this is really impressive and cool. And like, I'm not going to be some swimmer who's going down and swimming super fast laps. That's just not me. Yeah. But like to use whatever like lane that you're in to like, for the glory of the Lord, I think is a really important thing too. It's not just about like living into your calling, but it's living into your calling, like calling that God's called you to. And so, yeah, I think, gosh, when you're doing what you're called to do, it's easier. Like, it's just like, hey, I want to do this and I want to be a part of this.
Yeah. So. And I think that too, I would just say to like to the people that are listening to this is like, it takes time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, I think it can be really easy to feel like, you know, you're going to spend like, you know, one or two times with the Lord, or you're going to go, you know, ask your mentor and then like immediately just like, you know, immediately you're going to have it. And so I think it just takes, you know, honestly year. Like I don't feel like I'm there. You
I
know?
Don't either. And I'm old. I'm old at this point. Like I've been on staff for 7 years. So that means I'm a little ancient. But I think that even just like refining and like putting yourself in different scenarios to learn, I think is the most important thing. Because you're able to say, okay, hey, I want to learn and I want to figure out more of where God's calling me to be. Yeah. And so when you realize, like when people around you come up to you and you're like, oh my gosh, this is, you're so good at this, or, oh man, you need to keep doing this. I think David's like talking about that. I was like, that's so good. Yeah. When people come up to you and they express to you like, hey, you're doing what you're
saying,
what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Like take notice of it. Cause you might not even realize like, what God's even implanted into you. And so I also love, there's this quote, I don't remember who has said this before, but I think it was a Blake Morris quote, but it was like what would Jesus do if he were you? And so it's not a matter of like, yes, you want to become like Jesus, but also you've got your own personality. And so how does that, like, how has the Lord even fit that into, okay, who God's called you to be?
Yeah.
And like, how would Jesus operate if he were you? And so I think it was a helpful thing for me to think about of like, I don't want everyone just to look the same, because I don't want this just utopian society that all of a sudden becomes everyone looks cookie cuttery.
Yeah.
But you want people to be different from each other. You want people to live into, what they're called to live into.
Because the beauty of the kingdom isn't like there is unity, but not uniformity, right? Like it's like, you know, we're all unified under Christ, but it's like the beauty is that there's so many diverse expressions of who God is through so many different people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. My brain could go on a rabbit trail with that. I mean, oh man, I could keep on going, but.
Yeah. So what would you say kind of coming out of this message going into the next week, even as we lead up to fall retreat, what would a good kind of practical takeaway look like from what David had to share tonight?
A couple practical takeaways. One of them, I love just that he even talked about scripture. And I love that he was like, here are three big scriptures that like I'm going to even use as a lens to look at calling. Yeah. No matter what those scriptures are for you, like I think that like it is so important to have scripture ingrained into your mind that you read through every single day. Yeah. And I mean, I tell this to people all the time of like, find scriptures that you can like read your life through. Yeah. And so, and how do you pray those into your day at the beginning and look through them? And so I think even the dust of the rabbi, I loved that like quote of like, who do you need to be close to in order to learn from? Yeah. And like surrounding yourself with people that actually see you for who you are and see you for who you can be. And don't just like shove you to the side or feel like, oh man, I'm just lesser than, or, yeah, I think surrounding yourself with a good community, but also deeply personalizing scripture to yourself, I think is helpful.
Yeah. Not that everyone should copy Lydia Sladen's go-to scriptures, but do you have a couple like good places to start? I know you mentioned Romans 12.
Yes. Oh, Romans 12 is like in my room, like on the side of like, I mean, it's, there have been, I mean, I can look at years of my life and see, each year of college, I feel like I had a different scripture that kind of like defined that season. Yeah. And so for me, a big one is, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Yeah. And that was a huge, for a huge season, it's 2 Timothy 1:7, if you wanted to know. Mm-hmm. But just, it was really helpful for me even to learn, okay, how do I look at life and not be anxious? How do I live not out of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind? And so even when the enemy tries to attack, how do I stay steady? Yeah. And then, I mean, I've got plenty more of like Ezekiel 36:26. For God, he removes a heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. Yeah. Walked through some crazy seasons of apathy where I was like, I can't feel. Mm. And felt like my heart was so hard and literally just felt like God was saying, you don't have to fix your heart. Yeah. I'll remove it and give you a new one. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so many like that I'm like, man, Lord, thank you for giving me these as like a place that I can even put words to. Like, yeah. I'm not a very articulate person. And so when scripture's there for me and it's already said it, and I'm like, there's nothing new. And so it just helps articulate what's going on inside me. So find those scriptures because it'll help you even realize your calling more of like, I don't know. It's just, it's been helpful for me to even have words to articulate my season. So
yeah, I want to hop in on this game real quick and suggest John 15.
Hey, that's good. Abide in.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Of just
let's abide.
I need that reminder of just like you know, without me, like you can bear no fruit.
Yeah.
That I have to remain in the Father and like abide in Him and like have that as my resting place, as my source for everything else. Mm-hmm. I think that even ties back into like that. Like, let your legs be caked in the dust of the rabbi. Like that honestly stole my thing on that one. Cause it's just like, and I would even take it a step further of like, yes, it's so good to have people who are discipling you, people who you are following. I think that there's also a way that can slip into like idolizing that person and viewing that person like as Christ. And so I think that like, I would even say, let your legs be caked in the dust of like the ultimate rabbi.
That's so good.
That is Christ.
That's good,
and
Landon.
So like, I don't know. That would be like my practical application even of like, how do you work through calling? Is just like, get as close as you can to the source.
Yeah.
You know, get close to community, but get close to like, you know, be like caked in the dust of Jesus Christ.
That's
be
so
one
good.
Who follows Him. I think we even follow, like use that word, just like disciples and discipleship a lot around here. And don't come back to that definition of like, to be a disciple is to be one who follows. Mm. And there's just like, there's a lot to that, but there's also just a simplicity in like, you know, setting your mind to like, I'm going to follow Jesus and just see what He has for me.
One of my other favorite verses that our sweet Pam Vernon. So if you know Kurt Vernon, Pam Vernon is his mom, and he writes, she has written plenty of music to scripture. Mm. And it's always the one that's coming to my mind right now is Ephesians 5:1, but it's, I don't know what the tune is, but you'll know when I sing it, but it's be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, Ephesians 5:1. And so it's literally, is it happy birthday? I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Sure. Whatever tune it is, but to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. So being imitators of who God actually is by getting as close to Him as you possibly can. So find those scriptures that you can like ingrain into you and read over your day and pray through, I think is super important. So
it's so funny that you mentioned Ephesians 5:1, because there was a guy that I met tonight who was wearing a shirt, and it was an LA shirt.
Yeah.
And it said emulate one. It was a Christian LA shirt.
Oh man. Oh man. Whoever you are, I hope you're listening to this podcast.
So emulate the one.
Be imitators.
As you drink that ale, think about that's how you good. Need to emulate Christ. Before we sat down for this podcast, Lydia said that she could ramble and talk all day. And that we may run a little long, and maybe we have, but hopefully you've taken the time to listen. And honestly, if you want to keep talking about it, you know where to find us. You know where
come
we're
find
at.
Find us. I would love come to
find
talk.
Us, and yeah, we would love to chat. So Lydia, thanks for hopping on with me.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you all next week as we head into fall retreat. Have a great week.